I would like to pray, if we could, and get started.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. You are so merciful, Lord, and I am humbled. I'm humbled by your love. I'm humbled by your goodness. I'm humbled, Lord, by your presence. Thank you. Thank you for such mercy, Lord. I want to commit to you this chat and ask you, Lord, to guide and direct me. I pray for the hearts that are in this room, Lord God, that they would be open, that you would specifically speak to each one, Lord, something. Give them, Lord, a piece of bread that they might be nourished. Give them a good drink of living water that they would be refreshed. And so they would come away from today and with a new step, a new empowering, a new experience, a new encounter with you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I give it to you. I'm going to be very transparent with you today, and I apologize if that offends you. Feel free to come and talk with me afterwards. You may have to pray for me. But the longer I walk, the less I know. I'm serious. When he asked me to speak about Holy Spirit, it's like, sure. Because in all sincerity, how can you teach about Holy Spirit? I mean, just the magnitude of Holy Spirit, who he is. He's God. And I am just this little old lady, only knowing him about 40 years. I have barely scraped the surface. So I'm here, oh goodness, and I'm gonna do my very best to share. So first scripture is 1 John 2. Sorry, it's not up here. I'm gonna try to read it. Eyes, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what's true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So he is within you. You don't need me to be teaching you anything. He is the teacher. So for me, I'm actually here not to teach you anything. Each one of you has a relationship with him. Each one of you, to some degree, you know him. You've heard his voice, you've experienced him, you do know him. Again, varying degrees, you've got relationship with him, so you don't need me or really anybody to teach you anything about him. He's the teacher and wants to teach you. About a year ago, Bud and I were talking about going to Africa with Nate Colson, and so we had started the plans of going and all of that, and Nate had to go to Texas for some conference, some Bethel conference. And while he was down there, he called us and wanted to talk about plane rides or something, get that situated. And I can't help myself, but every time I talk to anybody, it's like, what is God saying to you? So he's at this conference. I want to know, what's God saying down there? I want to know. And he said a very interesting word had come forth, and it was this: there is a pressing happening. And new wine is coming forth from that pressing.
Hallelujah.
New wine is being poured out on the systems of this world. He is pressing, God Almighty, is pressing those areas in us that have not been released to him, or we have been unable to allow him to have, or we have been unwilling for him to have. That pressing is his love. It's a kindness. And with the pressing, new wine is coming forth. Now, here's the transparent part, and TMI? I don't know what that was. TMI? I apologize if this offends you. It is what it is. Deal with, cover me in love. Please cover me in love. Most of 2024, I have been under pressing. But I will tell you, everybody that I know and love has been in pressing. Now, it looks different. Yours is different than mine. But there's a pressing that's been going on in 2024. Amazing, hard, good stuff. So to be very honest with you, when 2024 ended, I was thrilled. Because they kept saying, oh, 2025, glory, na 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 na. Well, no offense, it's been harder and more intense, okay? But that's my side, okay? What I have discovered with the pressing that's happening in my life, I can hit the sack and, you know, do my prayers and really commune with the Lord, and I sleep like a rock. It's fabulous. But in the middle of the night, I can be awakened, and what I'm experiencing is dread, fear, anxiety. That's not me, and that's not God, but it's like on me. And my mind is whirling with all the circumstances that I have to figure out now, and bills I have to pay, and all this stuff. How am I going to do it? No, 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 no. I'm awakened out of a dead sleep, okay? So I take care of it, go back to sleep, have a great day the next day, and boom, it would happen again, over and over and over again, pressing. How are you going to do this? How are you going to do this, man? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do it? Always going back to the Lord. And we were singing it today, but it's what I do. Lord, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And I find myself running like this little girl into God and hiding myself in him. I'm like in his robe here, hanging onto his leg. But I'm safe. That's my safe spot. And that's what I do. And it takes care of it. So what I have been seeing is, and I know, fear, dread, anxiety, none of that's listed for Holy Spirit. It's not him, okay? So I think another scripture, which is 2 Timothy. Is it up there? Okay. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, calm, and a well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. So I know the truth, but what I was experiencing in my circumstances was battling that. So anyway, so I battled through, I did what I had to do, but what kept coming to me is like, Lord, why is this not stopping? Why am I still having to battle? What is going on? And Nate's words came back to me that there's a pressing. My circumstances, though they're different than yours, my circumstances are pressing. And in the pressing, what I saw, what Holy Spirit saw, showed me, was that within me, little to my knowledge, there are little pockets of unbelief that have not been taken care of. And they are buried deep. I didn't think they were there. I thought it was cool. Me and God, we're buds, you know? We're mates, as they say. But it took the pressing to get these things to show. And they came to the surface and manifested. And I did what I was supposed to do with them. Took care of them. Blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Blood of Christ. But then it happened again. Because these things are deep. I didn't know they were there. I did not know they were there. And I still don't know what all is within us. We are more complicated than you can imagine. Okay? So anyway. So with each pressing, each time, more stuff was coming up. More was coming. And it was getting taken care of. And it began to diminish. Now, there is a song from long ago that really strikes me. It has to do with crushing. It's New Wine by Hillsong. And so, okay, you guys are really cool. Good job. And it says, in the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil, I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing. And all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Where there is new wine, there's new power. There's new freedom. The kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. And this, in essence, is what's going on with me. And brethren, it's happening with you. If you're going through pressing and you are burying yourself in the Lord, this is what he's doing with you. New wine is coming forth, which means new freedom, new power. Okay? Next scripture, I wish I could see. Yeah. Jesus, it's like John 14. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me. No claim, nothing in common, nothing in me belongs to him. He has no power over me. This is what's happening. This is what's happening with the pressing, with the cleansing. New wine is coming forth, just like Jesus. Jesus was saying that about himself. He could walk as he walked because the devil had nothing to say to him. Couldn't go near him because he was right with his Father. And that's what's happening. Those little pockets of unbelief I didn't know were there are no longer his territory. They belong to God. This past, maybe the past 6 or 7 months, a word has been coming to me over and over. It keeps hitting me in the face. And we even sang it today. Lauren is amazing. But anyway, it's the word entirely. I first heard the word entirely and complete when they commissioned Steve for being an elder. It was either Titus or Timothy, one of those scriptures. And I remember as they were praying over him and they said the scripture, completely the Lord's, was one of the things they spoke about elders. And that phrase was like rocking in me. It just knocked, I had to sit down. Completely the Lord's. And I think it hit me because I don't know if I can say that about myself. I mean, I'm not an elder, but I want to be completely his. I don't want him to have any sort of stuff in me. I want to belong to God because he's worthy. What he has done for me, there are no words for. Okay? So, I prayed. Lord, make me entirely yours. And I meant it, and I still do, but there's a mighty cost. There's a mighty cost for that kind of prayer. It's Jesus' cost, what he had to pay, okay? But I still want it, despite the pressing, despite the terror, despite the pain, despite the sorrow. I want this. I want him to have it all. We sang that again today. It's like you guys got my notes or something. It's what we did today. It's just amazing. So then let's go to the next scripture, which I think is Psalm 139. Yeah. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This was my prayer. over and over again, and I find myself praying it even more because I want to be entirely His. So, for all of the flack I got in the spirit about coming and talking to you guys today, because I didn't think I should, I've been going through a lot of stuff, a lot of pressing, and I just didn't feel like I could, you know, hold myself together enough to talk to you, that because the battle was so intense that I didn't really have anything to say to you, because I really don't know much of anything except a little bit of what I've said and my story. That's it. I realize now that I do have credentials, and so do you. We all have our own experiences with Holy Spirit. We have authentic stories. So because they are authentic, we have authority to speak to you about it. I think of the Gadarene demoniac, the next scripture, which is Mark 5. The Gadarene demoniac, you all know the story. Well, this is just the last little blurb of it. But Jesus refused to permit him. He wanted to go be with Jesus. Don't we all want to just go hang out with Jesus, walk with him, stay with him, physically have that touch with him? But he refused to permit him. But he said, go home to your own family, relatives, and friends, and bring back word to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had sympathy for you and mercy on you. This man had an authentic story, and there was authority for him to share it to his town, and there was a revolution that happened because of it. So I was heading in this direction, and then the Lord led me to the two books that I presented a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like it would be good for me just to get out of myself and offer it to other people. So it was that Holy Spirit book Bible study. And so at the time, I shared, to introduce it to you guys, a scripture from Timothy, 1 Timothy 4. This one's really big and wordy, I apologize, but it's from the Passion. Are we there? Yes. Yes, sorry for how tiny it is too. Don't minimize the powerful gift that operates in your life. Shoo. Wow. For it was imparted to you by the laying on of hands of the elders and was activated through the prophecy they spoke over you. Make this all of your constant meditation and make it real with your life so everyone can see that you're moving forward. Give careful attention to your spiritual life and every cherished truth you teach, for living what you preach will release salvation inside you and to all those who listen to you. Shoo. That is 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, the Passion. Other versions don't use the word minimize, they use neglect. And the Lord had given me this scripture, and I was again fixed with, don't neglect the gift that's been given you. And so I presented it at Abba's Way one Friday night and said, I just want to look at this. What does it look like to neglect? What does it mean? And Sean started just rattling off all these things about taking for granted, ignoring, and it was incredible what it meant to neglect, and to actually look at that in terms of Holy Spirit. My heart, it quickened that I probably do those things. And it was time to relook at it. Do I have neglect? Do I have the definition of neglect? I don't remember. Yeah, I guess I do. Okay, so then I looked it up, and this is what it says about neglect. And if you can think about us neglecting Holy Spirit, what this says, to give little attention to or respect, disregard, to leave undone or unattended to, especially through carelessness. Leave undone or leave out, fail to attend to, give little or no attention to, ignore, take for granted, fail to feed or care for, to presume or assume upon him. So the question that I saw for the Bible study and the book study was, so then how do we honor him? And this is what inspired the Tuesday Bible study thing. And so to honor him is like the opposite of what I just read. It's to respect him, pay attention to him, include him. Don't presume upon him. Don't take him for granted. Talk with him, ask his opinion, thank him, praise him. The list goes on and on. But as you see it, it's a focusing on him. Awakening to him. Next scripture, I have no idea what that says, it's so small. Next scripture. You can't even read it there. I apologize, I need a magnifying glass. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult with any human being. There was a point in my life where the Lord peeled it back and said, I live in you. He does in every one of us, you guys. We need our eyes open to see it. But God reveals his son in you. The realization of who you are carrying, who is in you. Next scripture is Galatians. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the results of his presence within us. I love Amplified. So I just want to stop. Him inside of us, this is what it looks like. This list. It's not us trying to love, trying to joy, you know. This is what it looks like when he is Lord inside of us. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, which is unselfish concern for others. It's joy. It's an inner peace. It's patience. Not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. I love that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is what it looks like when he is in us, living happy. And it's not really anything we have to work at, other than just saying, you're God, you go. Do what you do, I bow my knee. I have really purposed within the past couple of years just to really make sure that I have a tendency just to, I'm walking along and I kind of veer off to the side. I'm like, come on back now. Veering off. So it came to me that the Jews do what's called a mezuzah. Is that right, Kathy? Okay, a mezuzah. And so for Christmas, I asked for a mezuzah. Okay, and Bud found me like five of them because he knows how I am. I want them everywhere. Okay, and the mezuzah is a little thing that they put on their doorposts, and then there's scripture. And when they come in, they'll touch it. Sometimes they put a kiss on it, that kind of thing. But what that does is it causes them to refocus. Who do you belong to? Why are you, when you go in, who are you carrying? Remember. And so I put them on the counseling room. I put them on my bedroom. I put them in the outside. I put them everywhere I could think of because I want to remember who I am and who I am carrying wherever I'm going, coming, going. That was just one of the things, because I wanted to make sure I was focused and remembering who I am and what he's done for me. Remember who I'm carrying when I'm going out, when I'm coming home. Both count, you know. How you behave in your house is important too, kids. Sure is. Going out, great with the world. Coming back, be good to your family. Definitely. Next one is, I can't read it. Don't have an idea. You don't either. Sorry. Sorry about that. Fear not. There is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror or be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Wow. He has promised to help me. Little story, okay? I had to go back to work when my youngest was going into kindergarten. That made him about 5 years old. I had such a good time being a home person. I loved being with my babies, playing with my dogs, out in the snow. It was such a good time, but I had to go back to work. And so I'm a teacher, which means I'm basically mothering other people's children and giving mine away. But anyway, and it was hard. Okay, it was hard. Also, being a teacher, teachers' lounges just really aren't the best places that you want to hang out. They're tough. Jesus needs to get in there real hard, you know? But anyway, I got into my car that first day, and I headed out my driveway, and I made a left onto 38th. I'm heading out to the Burlington-Waterford area, because that's where I was teaching. And I turned the corner, and I was, Lord, I don't think I can do this. Other people's kids, and the attitudes, and the eye rolling, teachers' lounges, Lord, I don't think I can do this. And I heard him say, I will help you. And I said, okay, let's go. And I went through that first day fabulous, because he helped me. Every day after that, getting into that car, making that turn, I reminded myself and him of what he said to me. And he has been faithful every single day of it. Now, the thing is, I don't teach anymore, but I still counsel. I make a budget. I get on the computer trying to figure out what Bud was doing with his Excel programs. And I say, Lord, you promised me I will help you. You've never lied to me. You never will. So I look to you. Help me, please. Those nights when I would be awakened like that, Lord, you promised you would help me. Help me. And he did. You guys, he is faithful, faithful, faithful. So I can get up here when that song is playing, and I am. I am a testament to the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. Because he keeps his word. He means what he says. He's good. He's good. Okay? So that's my story. But anyway, last scripture. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable for you that I go away. Now again, as Bruce was talking, he's saying it to the disciples, and it's like, how could it be when it's so good to have Jesus physically with you? But he says it's profitable. It's advantageous to you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, and then they have a whole list of who Holy Spirit is. Every one of the things that he does, plus some, okay? If I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby, wow, huh? Will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. So though it'd be really great to have Jesus with flesh, right? Yeah. We have Holy Spirit 24/7. And during the times when we are not even able to take care of, you know, going into sleep realm, when we're completely helpless. Each one of those things is who Holy Spirit is. Each one of those things I've seen him do in my life. Each one of them. I know I am not done. Because there's things inside of me that still have to be percolated up. I'm sure. Because I'm still breathing and I'm with you guys. If I get done, I get to go. Okay? So in the meantime, pressing, pressing. There was a scripture, and maybe I didn't put it in here, that I saw this morning that I thought was really good. And I don't have it, guys, so sorry. It's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 8. And it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that its all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Hallelujah. Perplexed, but not in despair. The last thing I'd like to share is I again shared for inviting people to the Bible study was a word that I had found in going through a lot of my journals. I'm trying to clean up and get rid of stuff, and I got all these journals. And it was a word, and I don't even remember where it came from, but it was about the boat. I don't know if you guys remember it. Because I really feel the Lord says this to me. Your sails have been slack. That's not a bad thing. When I heard that from the Lord, I immediately saw a sailboat out in the part of the world that's called the doldrums, which is an area in the ocean where there is no wind. So unless you got like a combustible engine, you're not going anywhere because there's no wind, okay? The second thing I saw when he said, your sails have been slack, it was not condemning, because in essence, I saw him saying, you have been choosing to do right. So we've been doing the right things, doing what we know to do, loving him, serving him, all of those things. You have been choosing to do right. You've been persevering, believing, waiting, waiting, believing, and waiting. I shall blow. I shall cause a mighty wind to rise, and your sails shall be filled, and the Spirit shall drive you forward. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. Father, I love you. We are yours. We give ourselves fully, completely to you, and we ask that somehow, some way, you would be glorified in these hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.